Welcome to History Unpacked. If you enjoy the content, consider subscribing. We post every week and we welcome any feedback. We hope you enjoy today's episode. It's hard to believe that one of the most advanced, efficient and wealthiest cities on Earth once started as a sleepy fishing village on the edge of a vast empire. But the story of Singapore is precisely that, a tale of reinvention, resilience and remarkable transformation. In today's episode, we will be talking about how this island grew through innovation, colonization, occupation, and immigration into one of the most wealthiest nations on Earth. Let's rewind the clock. Long before Marina Bay Sands, before high-speed trains and towering skyscrapers, to the 14th century. Singapore's early history is wrapped in myth, but fragments survive. The island was once known as Tamasek, possibly meaning Sea Town, and it appeared on Chinese, Javanese and Vietnamese maps in the 1300s. It wasn't just a speck of land, it was a small but strategic trading post, frequented by Chinese junks, Javanese ships and Indian traders. According to the Malay Annals, a key source of traditional history, the Srivijayan prince named Sang Nila Utama landed on Tamasek in the 13th century. Legend has it he saw a lion on the island and named it Singapura, meaning Lion City in Sanskrit. Whether lions ever roamed there is doubtful, but the name stuck. Still, by the late 14th century, Tamasek faded from prominence. Raids, changing trade routes and political shifts in the region left the island largely forgotten for centuries. Fast forward to 1819. The world had changed. European colonial empires were slicing up Southeast Asia. The Dutch dominated the spice trade and controlled much of the Indonesian archipelago. The British, not wanting to be outdone, were searching for a strategic foothold to support their growing trade with China. That's when Sir Stamford Raffles, an ambitious British administrator, saw potential in Singapore's location, smack in the middle of the Malacca Strait, one of the busiest maritime routes in the world. In January 1819, Raffles landed on Singapore and struck a deal with the local Malay leaders, establishing a British trading post. It was a brilliant move. Singapore had deep waters for ships, a sheltered harbour, and crucially, it lay outside Dutch control. By 1824, the entire island was ceded to the British East India Company, and Singapore's transformation began in earnest. Under British rule, Singapore exploded with activity. Its free port policy, meaning ships could trade there with minimal restrictions, attracted merchants from across Asia and Europe. Chinese, Indian, Malay, Arab, and European traders arrived in droves. By 1860, Singapore's population had grown to over 80,000, a mix of labourers, merchants, sailors, and adventurers. The city thrived on goods like spices, tin, rubber, and opium. But this success came at a cost. Life in colonial Singapore was far from easy, especially for migrant labourers who lived in overcrowded, unsanitary conditions. Secret societies, crime, and exploitation were rife. The British-controlled administration and economy, while the native and immigrant populations worked the docks and shops. Yet through all this, Singapore grew into a vital hub, a melting pot of cultures, languages and religions that began to shape its unique identity. Everything changed during World War II. In 1942, the mighty British Empire suffered one of its most humiliating defeats when Japanese forces overran Singapore in just 1 week. Despite having more troops and resources, the British underestimated the Japanese, expecting an attack from the sea, but it came overland through the Malay Peninsula. On February 15, 1942, Singapore surrendered. Prime Minister Winston Churchill called it the worst disaster in British military history. For the next 3 years, Singapore, renamed Shonan To by the Japanese, endured a brutal occupation. thousands were killed, particularly amongst the Chinese community, and life was marked by fear, rationing, and hardship. But the trauma of occupation did something profound. It shattered the myth of British invincibility. For many Singaporeans, it was the beginning of political awakening, the idea that they should no longer rely on imperial powers for their security or future. After the war, Britain regained control, but the winds of change were blowing. Across Asia, colonies were fighting for independence, and Singapore was no exception. In 1959, Singapore achieved self-governance, with Lee Kuan Yew becoming its first prime minister. Lee was a charismatic, sharp, and deeply pragmatic man. He believed that Singapore could be more than a pawn in someone else's empire. Initially, Singapore joined the Federation of Malaysia in 1963, hoping that a united front would strengthen their economic and political clout. But tensions, especially between Singapore's largely Chinese population and Malaysia's Malay-majority leadership, quickly surfaced. In a surprising and painful move, Singapore was expelled from Malaysia in 1965. It wasn't a triumphant declaration of independence, it was a forced divorce, and it left Singapore vulnerable, tiny, resource poor, and surrounded by larger nations. Singapore in 1965 faced daunting challenges. It had no natural resources, limited land, racial tensions, and high unemployment. The odds were stacked against it. But what happened was nothing short of extraordinary. Under Lee Kuan Yew's leadership, Singapore launched a full-scale national development plan. The government focused on education, attracting foreign investment, building public housing, and developing a corruption-free bureaucracy. Singapore also made strategic economic bets, investing in high-tech manufacturing, shipbuilding, banking, and port development. With one of the world's busiest ports, it quickly became a global trade and finance hub. Importantly, Singapore emphasized multiracialism and meritocracy, seeking to unite its diverse population under common national values. English was made the main language of instruction, but cultural and religious freedoms were preserved. By the 1990s, Singapore had completed a stunning transformation from third world to first, a phrase Lee Kuan Yew himself would later use to title his memoir. Today, Singapore is a model of urban planning, governance, and global connectivity. It ranks amongst the world's richest nations per capita. It's a hub for finance, technology, logistics, and education. Its airport and port are world-renowned. Crime is low, streets are clean, and infrastructure is world-class. But it's not without criticisms. The government is often described as authoritarian, with tight controls on media, dissent, and political opposition. Civil liberties are limited compared to Western democracies. Still, many Singaporeans accept this trade-off, political stability and economic prosperity in exchange for reduced freedoms. The system, while tightly managed, has delivered tangible results. Singapore also faces future challenges, an aging population, rising inequality and questions about identity in a rapidly globalizing world. From a forgotten outpost called Tamasek to a symbol of modern success, Singapore's journey is one of the most compelling in the modern world. It's a story of smart leadership, calculated risks, and the ability to turn disadvantages into strengths. Small in size but immense in ambition, Singapore today stands as proof that a nation doesn't need vast land, oil, or ancient grandeur to succeed, just vision, unity, and an unrelenting drive.